So, okay, lesbians have better sex.
Sure, of course. This is an endorsement.
Endorsement. The listeners, it's an endorsement, it's an invitation.
Hi, and welcome to Middle Me, the podcast about Filipino female sex and pleasure after 40. I'm your host, Anna P. Santos. In this episode, I talk to veteran advocate and lesbian visibility activist, Ginny Villar. Our previous episodes of Middle Me have focused mainly on the experiences of heterosexual women, and some listeners have told me they want to hear more about experiences of other women, gay women, trans women, bisexual women. So I invited my friend Ginny to sit with me and talk about lesbian sex and pleasure. We start off the conversation by asking if lesbian women indeed have better sex. Well, at least a popular study says so. You must have read this study or saw this study on the internet. It says that 75% of lesbian women orgasm during sex compared to 61% of heterosexual women. Listen in to see what Ginny has to say about this.
Hi, Ginny. Welcome to Middle Me.
Hello, Anna. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so happy to have you on our show. I've been wanting to actually ask you to come and sit with us for this episode because I realized that the first few episodes of Middle Me were focused on mostly heterosexual female experiences of pleasure and sexuality. You know, I ask you all the time about questions about sex and political correctness now when it comes to spooky expressions, right?
If it's pleasurable, it's correct.
If it's pleasurable. Why haven't I asked Ginny to come and sit with us for this episode? So I'm so happy you took the time to sit with us today. And I'm going to jump right into the first question.
Let's
Do
go.
Lesbians really have better sex? Kasi, wait, we have facts. There's a study that says that 71% of lesbian women orgasm during sex compared to 61% of heterosexual women.
That's a very conservative estimate.
60%? Conservative estimate pa yon?
I think so. Because I think mostly lesbians, parang tingin ko parang bihira yun. So that's a very small percentage if you don't like orgasm during sex, you know. And I think there's also less faking because you cannot really fake it because you would know, both of you would know if something's being faked, you know. So I think there's more intention, it's more deliberate, and you know more or less each other's body, so you can parang intuitive yung sex. So yeah, I think it should be higher.
Gusto ko yung no faking.
You can't eh. You can't eh. The other person will not awa yun. You're faking it. No. You'd know, diba? Parang physically. Especially for like it's not your first time to have sex, you know each other's bodies, so it's hard to fake something like that. If you can't, if you're not in the mood, you lose it, then you just tell the other person. I think that's mostly what lesbians do, so that honesty also I think adds to the integrity of the sex, so to speak.
Integrity. So I should I shouldn't only bring my libido to the bedroom, I should bring my integrity.
It's something like that.
Pero Ginny, interesting what you mentioned. I was reading, the other news reports that had an analysis of this study. And pardon me, I hope this is not an offensive joke, but it said, lesbians always bring a U-Haul because they think about second date or something. To that cliche, they said that actually that kind of emotional openness that they bring right on into the relationship also adds a lot of feeling and, you know, the emotional vulnerability that you bring. You want a connection in bed.
I was just having a conversation about this with a friend recently. And we were saying na parang it's like if you're in a relationship and then we're talking about having sex outside of a relationship. And sometimes that's hard because if you still feel an intimacy towards your partner, it's very hard to have sex outside. Now, I'm not speaking for everyone. No, I'm sure there are other people who can just do it, you know, anytime. But I think a lot of women, especially if they're more, I guess when they're a little older, they have had more experience and they know what they want. That yung U-Haul joke, I don't think that's exactly untrue. Because parang kasi you want that you want to have that full connection. And as you've said, that connection makes sex better. Parang it's another way of communicating your desire, your love. And so yeah. Complete with, you know, cooking together, washing the clothes together, having sex on top of the washing machine. I don't know. Basta ganon. Sama-sama na yun.
Wow, very couplehood ka agad.
I think for most people, especially if you really like someone, you just want to be with them like 24 hours a day until it gets crazy. Pero ano, yeah, I think when you get that connection, it kind of, hindi ko alam if there's also something in society that, you know, wires women into doing that. Maybe there is, it's just so hard to separate that. To say na parang it's because of the wiring na yung parang you want to settle down. Like in lesbian organizations. No? Okay, many of us, for example, start off as singles. That's why they start pairing off and then they start not attending the meetings. So sinasabi, ano talaga yan eh. So sometimes we joke around that, ayan na, wala na. No more organization, no more lesbian liberation because everyone has already coupled off. So you start gathering all the singles again, then you start another group, and then they pair off again, and then you form another group. So I think that sounds bad, but there's some truth to it in terms of my experience in lesbian organizing for quite a number of years.
But I also hear a lot of communication in all the things that you just said. I keep communicating with your partner, telling them what they want. That's also really crucial to having pleasurable sex and a connection.
Is it? Yes, I think so.
Communicate,
yes.
When it's two women?
Oh, there's so much talking. There's so much talking, there's so much processing.
It's a miracle you still have sex.
Well, I think it's part of it. Eh? But I'm not going to say just because they're both women, they know how to communicate. There's a lot of communication, but also it also depends on the people involved and how they communicate. Sometimes people don't know how, and of course that poses a problem, or people are just uncommunicative. That's also a problem. So it's really great when you find someone wherein you sort of like understand each other, or you're both on the same wavelength. It's also important, I think, first of all, to have the same values. I think in all relationships, it's important to have the same values. And then that makes communication, I think, easier. Or if there's differences in terms of, you know, your style in communicating, eventually, if you have the right values, then you'd be able to find a way to make that connection better, strengthen it.
Well, okay, lesbians have better sex.
Sure, of course. This is an endorsement.
The listeners, it's an endorsement, it's an invitation to explore and to widen our horizons. I love it. I love it.
Coming up next, Ginny shares her own personal journey of getting to know her body. She tells us about an ex-girlfriend who helped her break down her own built-up sexual barriers by asking her one simple question.
tell me, okay, you are how old now?
I'm 58.
What's your relationship now with your sexuality, your body, your idea of pleasure and desire?
Okay, ganito. Let me start off with when I was young. Mahaba ito, hindi. No, let me abbreviate it, no. But it's like this. When I was, of course, younger, let's say when I was starting puberty, let's say mga 12, 13, but I already knew that I was a lesbian and butch at that. Of course, I didn't know the word yet, no? But I knew that I was butch, no? I'm masculine presenting. Of course, I hated my body because, you know, you start to menstruate. I menstruated at 10. You know, so I hated it, no, because nothing destroys sperma more than, you know, menstrual, what do you call it, tagos. Diba? So bad trip yon. So I, of course, I wanted to change my body. I, of course, there were materials before about having procedures, you know, what probably people would now call as a gender reassignment or something. Is that still the correct term? Baka nagbago na.
I think okay. It's, I've read gender confirmation surgery.
Okay, so now it's gender confirmation. Changes by the day, sorry. I wanted to change it, and I would talk to a youth helpline, actually, to discuss it, you know, and try to find out. But of course, during that time, they didn't know much about it either. And when they started asking me questions, then I would balk and, you know, not call them anymore. So I just started to work out because I felt that that's the next best thing I can do is to try to develop my body in such a way that it wouldn't look too womanly. Because during that time, unlike now, relationships were very much patterned after, like, very gendered, so to speak. No? So someone has to be more masculine, someone has to be more feminine, you know. So I know that there are some lessons before who actually tried to look as butch as they can if they felt like that was the way they were supposed to look. But, you know, at some point, because it's fluid, they realize na parang, ah, I don't have to look like this to be a lesbian. So, yeah. Ganon. So I was trying to change my body by working out a lot, so that I would look more athletic, you know, but I couldn't really fight off my childbearing hips. So, wala na, tanggapin na lang natin yun.
Isn't pumping iron ganon?
Yeah, actually, when I was in college, I was they were starting to have women's bodybuilding competitions, and I was training to compete. But every time, siguro my body was afraid to wear a bikini because every time the competition would come close, I would always have, like, I would sprain my ankle or I would, you know, injure my knee, you know, from lifting too much. And so, parang, it never happened. But I've always been, parang, careful about my body. So, I'm not going to say that that's the same for everyone because I've had friends, for example, who had a different opinion about how to change their bodies and become more masculine. That is by, you know, allowing their bellies to grow because by then they could hide their breasts. So kanya-kanyang paraan yon. Right. So they think that's the way to do it. Or even then, may mga binders, pero not as sophisticated as the binders that they have now. So they would bind ganyan. Of course, we've had girlfriends when I was in high school, pero wala yun, ganun. So I think when I was in college, then I started to explore having sex, you know, with a partner. And you don't really know what to do, you know? So, and then they expect you to know. So that was really scary.
Oh, wow.
But because you're supposed to know. Parang you're the guy, di ba? You're supposed to lead. But and you cannot tell your girlfriend, I don't know. I don't know how. So you just sort of like learn along the way, try to find books, whatever you can find. And of course, none of them would talk about lesbian sex. So it's still male sex. But fortunately, I had a partner who I think was beyond parang her time, no? Yung ganon. Like, she challenged me because I I was stone butch because I thought that was how to do it, you know. Parang you're not even supposed to like remove all your clothes and everything. And I didn't understand that before I became a feminist. But I realized later on that the reason why I didn't want to take off like some of my clothes was because I would be confronted with my own body and the sameness of it. Because para kasing it's not possible to have sex if you're the same. So there had to be that sexual tension of being different. So I think that was the reason why I did not remove like some parts of my clothes. And then my partner, as I was saying then, she asked me a very simple question. It was a one-word question, like, bakit? And I kept thinking about it. So sabi niya, she wanted to do the things that I was doing to her, to me. And I couldn't agree. I couldn't bear the thought. But then she said, bakit? And then I thought about it. And I thought like, why? If I do it to her, am I doing something bad? Is it disrespecting her? Is it taking advantage of her? And the answer was no. So I said, okay, if it's okay and if it'll make you happy, then let's try it. So it was a slow process, I have to admit. But eventually, I became more comfortable. And I think that also liberated me from all these preconceived notions about what sex is about and what intimacy is about. I owe her.
Yeah. Goes to that woman beyond her time. But when you talk about, you know, kind of, you said confronting the sameness of our bodies. Is that a social construct now, or, you know, our social conditioning about, sabi mo parang hindi pwede na pareho?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think you could even say perhaps that it's internalized homophobia. Because the idea is that there can only be sex between, you know, two people who are different. And that's why I think some women were trying to include, myself included, trying to approximate, you know, what it's like to be male, to present yourself like girls expected you. This is in the 80s, you know, the girls expected you to smoke or to drink, you know, things that, you know, didn't really appeal to me, especially drinking. But, you know, you had to drink a little bit just to show, you know, you're not bakla or you're not, you know, you're not butch enough. Kumbaga, ganun. So, yeah.
So it's also saying internalized homophobia isn't always towards another. Parang it's not stigmatizing another, the homophobia. It can also be something that you feel within yourself, and then it manifests also with you.
Oh yes, definitely. It's said by feminist theory that we are made to be part of our own oppression, and that's the most effective weapon of patriarchy, is to make us party to our own oppression. So that includes shame in your body, shame in the type of relationships that you have, fear, being excluded if you don't subscribe to what women should be. So I guess a lot of us have actually internalized that and continue to battle with it. Sometimes you still catch yourself. I don't think there's anyone who is like 100% not homophobic or does not have any type of internalized homophobia. And sometimes you catch yourself doing something like trying to kill yourself to prove that you're better or that you're not a bad person because you're a lesbian. You have to catch yourself and then realize, oh, that this doesn't have to be like this. Or I am being part of that. I am subscribing to something that I should not. And like, hold up, go back, and let's do this again.
And well, from there, you know, that was the 90s, and then we've moved on to the 2000s, and then there's internet. And I have to tell the listeners, okay, Ginny is someone I have been with at rallies, I have been with at different talks within organizations about sex and sexual liberation and all that, you know. And I've always been in this room where I look at all these women, I'm like, wow, they can openly talk about these things. It's already how empowered and how emboldened. But hearing your story, it wasn't always like that. How did you come to a space where you are now and finally being comfortable with, is it a hierarchy of body and sexuality, or does it come together?
I think those come together. It's hard to separate it, because, you know, this is with you, your spirit and your body are with you 24 hours a day. So I think experience, of course, has been a very important teacher. Also, that's why I think visibility is very important and breaking the silences around things like these, because there are times, of course, when you're younger that you think, or even now, even with all the information, when you're young and you haven't had much experience, or you don't know yet how to discern one thing from the other, you feel like sometimes you're the only person who experiences this kind of pain or this kind of confusion, you know. So when people say like, oh, how are you going to teach sex and gender sexuality, is already so much information, or people already know a lot. No, because there's still new people coming along, just coming of age and discovering these things. And even some people who haven't really learned about these things and are just coming into this or discovering it, like, for example, women who suddenly discover that they are attracted to women. That's a whole category. Or someone who has been with a woman for, like, I don't know, 25 years, and then suddenly, for some reason or the other, maybe they break up or what, and find yourself, na, okay, what am I going to do after this relationship is over? And relating to another woman is like relating to a whole new what? Because not two women are the same. So it's rediscovering and finding out again all these things. So from all these experiences, I guess, you also learn and you see yourself through them and try to make yourself better, or some of your values, for example, are validated also by the things that you see around you.
That's so.
Did I answer your question?
Yeah, but where does aging play a part, or how does, you know, aging changes a lot of things, right?
Yes, yes.
and bad, like with everything. So for you, what has that changed for you when it comes to quality?
I think when you get older, I don't know at what age people will consider being older. Maybe some people at, you know, 35 say, oh, I'm already a Lola or something like that. Diba? I don't want to have sex. I just want to sleep at 10 o'clock in the evening. And then you have women like in their 50s, like myself, who still have a very active sex life and desire it and actually have, I think, have it better, because, you know, you don't have to worry about the other things, or you can say what you want. But on the other side, of course, there's also the issue of, like, when you're older, of course, you have other health issues. So people are afraid, like, oh, my God, I might have a heart attack. Or
because of a really intense orgasm. And I'm,
yes,
25%.
Yes, or I'm taking medication. I've heard some people say, like, because of their medication, their libido, like, goes down, and sometimes they cannot bring themselves to have sex, even if in their heads they want to. It's like physically they can't go with it. So that, or body issues, like, oh my God, I'm dating this woman, and like I said, they're both in their 50s, like, I'm going to date this woman, I have to fit into this skirt. Or it's not just a matter of wearing a new bra or a new underwear or getting your wax, you know. It's like, oh my God, what am I going to do with my non-existent waist? I might end up with this woman, and I'm so, you know, I don't feel secure. I know someone, for example, who told me that she could not orgasm if she's not feeling comfortable about her body. So when she's in a dating mode, she like really works out, so she feels comfortable, and that's the only time that she can have sex. Otherwise, she'll never orgasm, she said.
Oh no.
Oh no. She can't.
So by herself na lang muna.
Oh, self-reliance.
Strong, independent woman. Can you, what, okay, let's go to the part where I always ask for tips from, you know, our guests. So when it comes to sexual pleasure, and also, I mean, the fun parts of aging and loving your body still, what would your five tips be? What could learn from lesbian women specifically about these things?
I think masturbation is underrated. I think more women should masturbate. Why? Because then you know what you want. Because don't expect someone else to know or to figure it out for you. So I think masturbation helps, because then you'd know. And don't just look at porn and think that that's the way. You know, you can probably find your own. I'm not saying don't watch porn. I admit to watching some porn. But yeah,
of course.
Yeah, whatever floats your boat.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, getting to know your body and also taking care of it, because I think it's important also, because then if you feel healthier, if you feel like more comfortable in your body, then you are also more expressive and you're more liberated to explore things and do things, you know. I think taking care of your body, getting enough sleep, eating well, you know, taking care of your skin, you know, yung mga ganong klaseng kalandian. But it's important, yeah, because it's self-care, right? And sometimes even if you're not feeling too good inside, you know, you take a walk or whatever it is, you want to dance in front of you, a YouTube, MTV, meron pa mga ganon, a music video, whatever you call it, yeah. Halatang halata.
I don't even know now what the ones is.
Yeah. So yeah.
Masturbation is like happiness. You shouldn't depend on your orgasm on another person.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Diba? And you can also, if you find yourself with a partner, then you could also, you know, talk about it. Okay. And show them, or if you're just very sexy, diba? Or tell them how to do it. You okay. know, you feel sexier, better.
So would that be your second tip? Whatever, find what makes you feel sexy.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's important. And I think an advantage also of being older is that you don't really care. Like if you do something silly that they think is silly, kebs, di ba? Bahala kayo. I want to do this. I want to pose this way. I want to wear this. It's not for business. And I think when there's a lot of, when you're confident that way, I think it's sexier. Then you have better sex also. It follows.
Giving zero fucks equals pleasurable fucks.
For sure.
And your third?
Okay, being fit, masturbate, take care of yourself. I mean, sometimes you go through life not taking time off to find out if we're still where we want to be, or if we're going towards the direction that we want. I think that's very important, because that's your grounding. And without that, it'll be hard to do all the other things. So basic muna rin, syempre, foundation, and then the rest will follow.
Okay, last two tips.
Tips pa? Ano pa kaya? Go out, man! Go out! Because a lot of women say, oh, I cannot find anyone, there's no one who's interesting, blah, 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 ganon. But you're just in your house, and every time your friends ask you to go out, you don't want to go out. You don't want to try anything new. So what? You expect to come out of your ceiling? No. Diba? You have to go out, try new things because tip number five, people who are interested are interesting.
Oh. Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. You can't have a conversation if there's nothing that, you know, you can talk about because you have no interests. So, go.
Pile up on your what makes you interesting so people will be interested.
Yep.
Okay. You know, that's good advice for even like life, right? Whether not just your sex life, but also your life, which I think brings to the conclusion that, you know, being happy in life can also is really directed or related to being happy in your sex life.
Definitely. And
we're not advocating having a lot of orgasms. There are people who are asexual, so that is definitely also a sexual orientation.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's, you don't want to have sex and just want another kind of intimacy or connection, that's also a source of happiness and joy. And basically, yep, that's what we're talking about, finding that source of happiness and joy so that you'll be happy in all aspects of your life.
Amen.
That was part one of our interview with lesbian visibility advocate Ginny Villar. Ginny shared so much about the awkwardness, the pain, and joy she went through coming to terms with her body and her sexuality in her youth. You know, while Ginny was talking about this, I thought, those feelings of awkwardness, shame, and even the days that are just meh, these are all cycles we will go through throughout life. Life just happens that way. Every once in a while, it throws us into a loop when it comes to body issues and sexual identity. We have to hang in there to get to the next best part, which is falling in love with yourself all over again. Ginny's five tips are a great way of recentering yourself when you feel a little bit lost. I hope you'll continue to think of Middle Me as your safe space where you can ask questions, explore, and enjoy your sexuality, whatever stage you find yourself in. Or maybe you can listen to us when you need a little bit of recentering yourself. I'm Anna P. Santos. Thanks for listening to Middle Me, Stories of Filipino Female Sex and Pleasure After 40. You can find Middle Me wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Hit that subscribe button and drop a comment or two. Actually, a 5-star review would be better, to be honest. Till our next episode,